Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Juravich. It's the fall membership drive. More about that in a moment. Over the weekend, No Kings protests were held around the country, including here in Columbus. More than 10,000 people gathered at the Ohio State House Saturday afternoon. This month has seen the first government shutdown since the last Trump administration. The Secretary of the Department of War says he wants his generals to be fit and not fat. And President Trump does not secure the Nobel Peace Prize, but he does broker some peace in the Middle East. We're talking about national politics this hour with political journalist Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. Welcome back, Ken.
Good morning, Amy.
So let's start with the No Kings protests. What will the impact be? There were very large, very peaceful protests around the country. No Kings was the cry of protesters. There were also chants to protect immigrants. Do you think these protests will have an impact?
Well, I mean, who knows? And the reason I answer it that way is I think of the day after Donald Trump was inaugurated in 2017, they had the Women's March all over the United States, one of the largest demonstrations in history, fighting for women's rights. And then the Democrats the next year picked up a bunch of House seats and they seemed good. But then Donald Trump wound up in office again. So basically, I mean, there seems to be a real solid anger, dissatisfaction with Donald Trump's policies when it comes to sending in the National Guard, to deporting many people who are citizens and things like that. And I think that was one of the reasons why there was such a big turnout, between 7 and 8 million people yesterday, which apparently, according to most you know, observers, said it was the biggest mass demonstration in American history. But at the same time, Donald Trump's numbers have not really changed much. His approval, his job approval has basically stayed the same. It's not in positive direction at all, but it's not as bad as you'd think when you have 8 million people protesting against him. So a lot has to do with whether these people continue their protest. They continue their anger and they go to the polls in 2026 and 2028. But of course, that's a long way off.
Yeah. Does it matter that, you know, the No Kings protest had a theme, but there's a lot of protests happening. I mean, just about every weekend, there's people protesting at the State House in downtown Columbus and their signs are always something different. It's like everyone is protesting something different. Everyone's sign says something different. So No Kings had a theme that a lot of people followed. But still, is there enough unity, do you think?
I think there certainly seemed to be yesterday. But then again, if you listen to Republicans, they called it a pro-Hamas rally, a pro-illegal immigrants rally. Donald Trump, I don't know if you've seen this, and this is just, you know, beyond belief, but Donald Trump created this AI video where he's dressed up as a king with a crown on his head on a plane that's dropping feces. I'm not making this up. All over American cities, including New York. And you see Trump, I mean, of course, it's AI, but it's Trump in a plane and it's dropping feces all over American cities. Like, here's what I think of your protest. And of course, the Republicans think that's hysterical, just as they probably think it's hysterical when you have young Republican leaders saying, I love Hitler, which we saw in text messages last week. So, I mean, you know, there are a lot of things they think is funny, but ultimately, if you go by policy, Trump's numbers are not good when it comes to tariffs, when it comes to the National Guard, when it comes to the economy and deportations and things like that. But right now, you know, his numbers are still solid. And Republicans, even more importantly, Republican members of Congress are staying with him 100%. Mike Johnson called it an anti-American rally. Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, said a similar thing. So the Republicans are still standing firm.
You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. Remember that we are public radio and we are listener-supported radio. Make a gift right now at WOSU.org or call us 866-897-9678. This is a special day for our membership drive because it's New Member Monday, and we have a special offer for new members today only. When you become a new member, you can get the Powered by You coffee package for $7.50 a month as a sustainer. That's a one-time gift of $90. And this special offer is for first-time donors for today only on New Member Monday when you become a brand new member. The coffee package includes the Powered by You coffee mug and a special blend of Luck Brothers coffee that was blended just for WOSU. Support your source for trusted news with a monthly gift. It's $7.50 a month, and this gift will be yours. And we like to say that WOSU is powered by you, our members and our listeners, and you are powered by coffee. So you'll get this great mug and the half pound of coffee from Luck Brothers to show your support for this station. You'll be joining Mitchell Estat from Columbus. Thanks, Mitchell. And Victoria Savich from Columbus. Thank you so much for your gifts of support. Join them now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you've been listening for a while and been meaning to make a gift, today's a great day to join the WOSU family. And giving right now supports political discussions like the one you're hearing right now from all sides. We have Ken Rudin on this hour. If hearing Ken's perspective on national politics is important to you, now's a great time to make a gift. Give while Ken is on the air and support your future listening. We promise to bring you in-depth political conversations. We promise to explain the issues that matter. But that promise hinges on listener support, so do your part now. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Ken, let's move to the Middle East. So President Trump is getting credit for helping broker a ceasefire in the Middle East, and there were some clashes over the weekend, so the ceasefire does seem to be growing a little fragile. But what do you think was the key to President Trump achieving this ceasefire?
Well, first of all, as you heard on the hourly news on NPR, this ceasefire may not hold. Israel has bombed Hamas sites in Gaza over the weekend, and then they may continue. Hamas is also executing Palestinians who may not support Hamas, and that's going on as well. But you gotta give I sound like I'm from New York. Wait, I am from New York. But you gotta give credit to President Trump. I mean, even more so than Netanyahu, because Netanyahu basically could have had a peace treaty a year ago after Israel killed Hamas, Hamas leaders in October of 24, but they just felt they didn't have, they really wanted to destroy Hamas completely. And Donald Trump, who always wants a deal, was really fighting for a deal. So it really seemed like Donald Trump, more than Netanyahu, insisted on this kind of deal. Now, there was tremendous relief in the streets of Israel when they released 20 living hostages that were taken in that awful October 7th, 2023 attack by Hamas. And that was very encouraging for a lot of people who believe in peace. Israel released some 2,000 prisoners as well as part of the deal. But basically, Netanyahu's goal of destroying, wiping Hamas off the map, that did not was not accomplished. And again, we don't know if the ceasefire will last. If it does, it's great, and as Putin said the other day, well, maybe Donald Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, it's so ridiculous. After Donald Trump threatens to wipe Hamas off the face of the earth, and then we give him the Nobel Peace Prize. But having said that, Trump deserves a lot of credit in achieving this. Much more than Netanyahu, and we'll see if it lasts.
Now, President Trump is popular in the Middle East, especially after the ceasefire, but he ran here in America on a platform of America First. So do you see this helping him at home, brokering the ceasefire, all of his dealings with Ukraine and Russia? We'll get to the $20 million to Argentina as well. But when we're talking about the Middle East, does that fit into his America First platform?
That's fascinating to me. And I'm glad you asked that question, because I was thinking, there were members of the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, who were wearing red hats in the symbolism of Donald Trump's MAGA hats. I mean, you know, he's beloved in Israel. In Egypt, he got a standing ovation when he went there to meet with President Sisi. But back home, again, if you're you know, sending in troops to fight American citizens in the cities around the country, of course, Democratic cities. I mean, he won't go into St. Louis and Memphis, you know, cities where they have Republican governors because it's very nonpartisan the way Trump is doing it with the National Guard. But the fact that so many of his policies are so unpopular in this country, and at the same time, the juxtaposition, you know, the dual screen on the TV, seeing him being feeded in countries around the world, it's a stark realization that just because he's very popular there, that doesn't translate into popularity at home.
Well, what's your take on the $20 million going to Argentina?
This is remarkable. I mean, this is, we don't have money for food stamps. We don't have money for children, for prenatal care. But we do have money to give to our $20 million to give to Argentina so they won't buy stuff. So we'll help them buy, you know, stuff from other countries. It's remarkable how selective Donald Trump is when he's talking about a financial situation in this country, that we have to cut everything. We have to cut this. We have to cut that. We have to end programs. And yet we'll send them the millions of dollars to Argentina. It's just remarkable. And I think the only reason we're not hearing more of that is because there's so much on the Democrats' plate right now that they're complaining about. But Argentina is a perfect example of a hypocrisy of saying that we don't have money for, you know, programs for women and children, but we have money for Argentina, and that does not play well.
Yeah, we'll get to the government shutdown in a minute. We've been talking, can't believe we haven't even gotten to that. But one more international thing is Trump told reporters that he's disappointed in Vladimir Putin regarding the continued attacks. He's disappointed, I know. What do you think is going to help settle the war in Ukraine?
Not Donald Trump. First of all, they remind me of Susan Collins when she's disappointed in Donald Trump and votes for his policies anyway. But it's remarkable that Donald Trump says, you know, I'm going to send those Tomahawk missiles to help Ukraine because I'm really disappointed in Vladimir Putin. And then Vladimir Putin calls him up and wishes him a happy birthday. And Donald Trump says, wow, Putin was really nice to me. Or he'll say, you know, Donald Trump threatened sanctions. And then Putin says, you know, Donald Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize. And then Donald Trump says, wow, Putin is really nice to me. At the same time, Zelensky, who's getting bombarded, and Ukrainians who are getting slaughtered every day, nothing is stopping Putin. While Putin sends nice things and nice words to Donald Trump, the slaughter continues and the carnage continues. And every time you think that Donald Trump is going to get angry enough to do something about it, he gets swayed by flattery by Vladimir Putin, and he backs down. No sanctions, no Tomahawk missiles, no follow through with weapons that could help Ukraine.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and this hour is all about national politics, and who better to pontificate on our political future than Ken Rudin, veteran political journalist and host of the Political Junkie podcast. If having shows like this one is important to you, make a gift right now at WOSU.org or call us 866-897-9678. If you've been thinking about becoming a new member, today's the day to do that. The Powered by You coffee package is available for new members for $7.50 a month as a sustaining member, or a one-time gift of $90. And this great offer is for new members for today only. Once Monday ends, it won't be New Member Monday anymore. When you start a monthly gift of $7.50 a month, you'll get our brand new 89.7 NPR News mug and a special half-pound bag of coffee blended right here in Columbus by Luck Brothers. And you've probably heard, WOSU is no longer receiving federal funding. So when we say this station is powered by you, our members, well, that's always been true, and even more so now. The Powered by You coffee package is $7.50 a month, or a one-time gift of $90. The package returns to $15 tomorrow morning, so make that new member gift right now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Thank you to Keith Vesper from Powell. Keith says he has been a daily listener to NPR since the 1970s. Thanks for your gift today, Keith. Giving right now shows your support of everything you hear on this station. This station and this talk show have been covering it all. And of course, there is no shortage of news. NPR brings you the news and information you trust. That's why we're asking you to join us today with our thank you gift. If this station is your source for trusted news and information, then now's the time to give. Join us on New Member Monday. And if you're already a member, you can make a small additional gift right now, just in support of this program right now, this hour. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Again, you're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. We're talking about national politics with political journalist and the host of the Political Junkie podcast, Ken Rudin.
Amy, can I just jump up? Sure. Could jump in because I was thinking of the...
Only if
the,
you jump guy, jump up and jump in, yes.
Jump in right now. The guy who has been listening to NPR since the 1970s. Mm-hmm. I talk to a lot of WOSU listeners and I have for decades because I've been very good, you know, I've been very close with the folks at the station there. And those who love NPR, and you make a very good point that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is no longer giving money to mm-hmm. stations like WOSU. Contributions are more important than ever. But I want to just mention, speaking of the love for NPR, that Susan Stamberg, who was a mm-hmm. voice that everybody loved so much, and people say, was she as delightful as her voice was? She was the most lovely, delicious, delightful person I've known for decades. Her voice, she always had this laughter, this giggle, and she was as good as she sounded on the air. And those who love NPR and appreciate NPR, join me. I know in mourning her death last week. She was just delightful, and I know a lot of NPR longtime listeners will miss her tremendously.
Yes, I was lucky enough to be able to meet her very briefly. I was on a tour of NPR back in 2018. And
I saw the picture.
There's a picture, listeners, on All Sides Facebook page and Instagram, if you'd like to see a picture of me in 2018 with Susan Stamberg. And she was just delightful. She came out of her office. I mean, we didn't want to bother her. I was getting a personal tour with a friend of a friend. And she went out of her way to come out of her office to say hi. And we chatted about her exhibit that she had at the museum. So, which the museum is no longer, but she had this small exhibit in the museum and she hadn't seen it. And we talked about how she needed to go see it. She was lovely. So anyway, listeners, you could make a gift in remembrance of Susan Stamberg right now, too. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Ken, I wanted to talk about the government shutdown. So right now, at this moment, 20 days in, who is most to blame for the government shutdown?
Well, the polls seem to indicate that as hard as Trump and the Republicans try to blame it, they call it the Schumer shutdown because the Democrats are not negotiating. And for the most part, American people are not buying that. They know that the Democrats are standing firm on their belief that you're not going to have you're not going to have a budget without health care benefits and tax benefits that the Democrats are insisting on and that the Republicans want to cut. So even though the talking points for the Republicans are it's a Schumer shutdown, I think everybody seems to realize that it's a Trump shutdown. But this is a different kind of shutdown in the past, because it seems like in the past, everybody resented it. You know, in the first Trump administration, the famous Clinton-Newt Gingrich standoff in the 1990s, we've had shutdowns before. Not many, and not many that's lasted this long. But Donald Trump seems to enjoy this because he has said that, well, that's fine with me. When it's over, I'm going to cut Democratic programs. I'm not going to pay the people who were furloughed in the past. When the shutdowns were over, people came back to work and they got back pay. So ultimately, it wasn't as harsh financially for the people as it was as it is now. Now Trump is giddy talking about cutting programs, slicing people off the federal payroll, and it just seems like one more opportunity for Donald Trump to just cut things, while he's giving the money to Argentina, while he's, giving money, he's gold plating his the White House, the White House and everything like that. He's cutting programs left and right, which is what he said he would do, but he's almost doing it with a certain kind of zeal that he seemed to be enjoying it. And for all the people who were suffering in this shutdown that started October 1st, there's nothing that's enjoyable about this.
How does it end? I feel like we're at such a stalemate. I mean, I'm sure we've been at a stalemate for past government shutdowns, and it has felt like that. I want to say that there was one previously where it ended because Thanksgiving or some holiday was coming and the air traffic controllers stopped working. So.
Well, of course, the air traffic controllers cannot stop working. They are working without pay, and that's part of the deal as well. But I don't know. That's a great. It's a serious question, and it's an honest question. And I don't know how it stops because the Democrats said we're not going to give in, we're not going to cave. And I thought for a while that they would have to cave because Donald Trump commands a microphone that when he says that it's the Democrats who are doing this. But meanwhile, not only, I mean, first of all, Mike Johnson has sent all his the House home. And in doing so, I mean, this is a little PS here, but this woman, Grijalva in Arizona, who was elected to Congress a month ago, has not been able to be sworn in. And by not being able to be sworn in, she would have been the 218th signature to a bill that would force a vote on releasing the Epstein files in the House. But by closing the government, by sending the House home, Mike Johnson is avoiding that as well. So there's a lot of reasons why they're trying to keep this going on as long as possible, ignoring the fact that humans, human beings and families are suffering.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens with the government shutdown. But aren't there some on the Republican side who, Marjorie Taylor Greene has openly criticized the GOP, saying we need to fix these Obamacare subsidies. So, will there be a shift in some members of the GOP where if the shutdown goes on long enough, they're going to have to?
Well, if this were October 2026, right before the midterm elections, maybe the fact that it's a year before the elections, sometimes I think that people have short, voters have short memories and they'll forget about it, come down to go to the polls in the fall of 2026. But right now, I don't know if there's any hangover for the Republicans. I don't know if there's going to be retribution at the polls, but right now, I don't see any Republicans really breaking lines. And basically, when they do, Trump, lashes out at them saying, okay, I'm going to support an opponent to you. There are a lot of conservative Republicans who have criticized Trump on a number of things, and his response is, okay, I'm going to fund a primary opponent for you in 2026. Republicans are just frightened. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, when you think of Nixon and all his enemies list, for example, I mean, Trump has his enemies list with James Comey and Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, and he tells the Justice Department to indict them, and lo and behold, they indict him. Well, back in the 70s, when Richard Nixon had his enemies list, and he had a lot of people on the list, the Justice Department did not go after them. They didn't indict anybody. They didn't refer anybody for criminal indictment. But this is so different. This is an administration that there's nobody giving him serious advice. They're just a whole bunch of yes men and yes women who will do whatever he wants, and that includes indicting his enemies. I mean, we'll free George Santos, which is remarkable. I don't know what political plus there is in commuting George Santos' sentence. But yes, we'll indict James Comey and we'll indict Letitia James.
You're listening to 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Support this station that you listen to every day. Support us now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Anna Hardgrove in Sunbury. Thank you, Anna, for your support. And she writes, keep up the good work. We will, Anna, we promise. Have you been relying on this station more and more for trusted news and information over the past few months? If the answer is yes, we're asking you to join us for New Member Monday. Make a gift today and support this station and this talk show. New members are the future of 89.7 NPR News, and today is a great day to become a new member because we have a special offer. Become a new member and get the Powered by You coffee package for $7.50 a month as a sustainer. In this package, you will get a half pound of Luck Brothers coffee, which is crafted locally by Luck Brothers Coffee Lab, a business that maintains responsibility when sourcing their coffee, focusing on sustainable farming practices, economic fairness, and quality coffee beans. Luck Brothers roasts thoughtfully in small batches. So you will be getting our new coffee mug with the 89.7 NPR News logo on it, and it says Powered by You, and you will get this bag of coffee from Luck Brothers. And you know, WOSU is powered by you, our listeners, and you are powered by coffee when you get this coffee package, $7.50 a month, or a one-time gift of $90 right now. The package returns to $15 a month tomorrow. So become a new member today. Don't wait. If you rely on this station for news and information, we're asking you to move from being a listener to become a member. And if you are a political junkie yourself and you enjoy when we have Ken Rudin on the air, well, we'd like you to make a gift right now. If you're already a member, thank you so much for your support. Please consider making a small additional gift this hour to show your support for our ongoing political coverage. This year has certainly been unprecedented, and the year is not over yet, and you depend on this station to sort through it all. Every Monday, we have the Reporter Roundtable, and if you enjoy listening to the Reporter Roundtable and all of our political discussions, give now to support your future listening. Give in any amount at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Thank you to Sandra Freer from Dublin. Thank you, Sandra, for your gift of support.
Amy, would that coffee be grounds for impeachment? I'm sorry, I just thought of that.
Let's come up with more coffee puns, you know.
Yeah. Okay,
all right. So there have been some high profile politically motivated attacks over the past year. So last week, a man pleaded guilty to the arson attack on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro's house. However, the most publicized attack was the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, who last week was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So Kirk was not an elected official or a politician, technically, but he was very influential. So would you classify his murder as political violence?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's no question. Mm-hmm. It was political violence, and it was a horrific act of political violence. And you know, I mean, between the attacks on the couple, the killing of the Democratic lawmaker in Minnesota, the attack on Josh Shapiro's house, the killing of Charlie Kirk, the rhetoric in the political world has escalated, and it's terrible. And, you know, I know exactly what Charlie Kirk meant to young Republicans, young conservatives. He was extremely popular. There was talk about him one day perhaps even running for president. But at the same time, it seems like if you criticize Charlie Kirk, you're violating some kind of rule. There, Marco Rubio, they've revoked visas from at least six people who are trying to get into the country by criticizing Charlie Kirk. There are people who have lost their jobs for criticizing Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk, and you can go on YouTube and you can watch this. Charlie Kirk will talk about, you know, that Joe Biden has committed crimes against America and needs to get the death penalty. Now, to me, that is beyond, that is not somebody you give a Presidential Medal of Honor or whatever, and you don't have a day of more, you don't draw the flags down at half mast when somebody calls for the execution of Joe Biden. That is horrific as well. And so when President Trump talks about violence in politics, and you know, he'll talk about the attacks on conservatives, and he'll talk about, you know, the baseball attack on a Republican member of Congress years ago, or Charlie Kirk, but he'll ignore the Josh Shapiro attacks, the attacks on Paul Pelosi, the attacks on the Minnesota couple. It's happening on both sides. But when you think it's only happening on your side and it's the left that's responsible, it's not calming things down, and it's just reprehensible. Again, not for one second is there any excuse for political violence, let alone political assassination. And what happened with Charlie Kirk was just reprehensible. But let's keep the picture, you know, let's keep your eyes on the total picture and realize that this, it's not just not one side doing it and one side gets a pass on it.
It is getting harder to separate political rhetoric from hate speech. You know, last week, there were these offensive chats from young Republicans that were leaked, lots of text messages. And Vice President J.D. Vance downplayed the messages. He said they're, you know, kids doing stupid things, especially young boys.
They weren't young boys. I know exactly. And this is what ate me up. Of course, when you attack Charlie Kirk, it's okay. But when you have these Republicans in Kansas and New York and Arizona and Vermont saying things that I love Hitler and people should get the gas chamber, and I'm not going to go to an NBA game because I don't want to see monkeys playing baseball, basketball. That's what these people said. And they're not young Republicans. They're Republican leaders in states. One was a chief of staff for a leading assembly member in New York. So it's not college. It's amazing when the right wing says something reprehensible, as they said, as we saw in those text messages, they're not little pranks. They're not little, oh, it's, you know, just, you know, some things that college members would say. And again, when if we feel, if we're angered, as we should be with all the political violence and, again, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, talking about admiration for Hitler and making jokes about blacks and Jews and things like that and women is just, it just, and to ignore it and to say it's just a college prank, we don't learn anything from that lesson at all.
Yeah, he seemed to take one of those like boys will be boys kind of tacks,
yeah,
but some of them are the same age as Vice President Vance, because
exactly.
the definition of a young Republican is like, you know, anyone under 40-ish.
Well, exactly. It reminds me of Trump when he said these despicable things about women in that, you know, in that Air America, not Air America, but the bus thing with Bush's nephew.
Oh, Billy Bush.
Billy Bush, right.
Oh,
in 2016.
Yeah.
That's locker talk.
That's a lifetime ago. My goodness. Okay.
What I'm saying, they dismiss racist and misogynistic comments like that. And if you're going to keep dismissing it, then we never learn a lesson.
This is such a faraway question, but would, you know, right now, if you could predict in 2028, will J.D. Vance be the GOP presidential nominee?
Well, if you buy the argument that Trump will ever give up the White House,
mm-hmm.
I mean, already,
yeah.
as Gavin Newsom keeps telling everybody, that people keep sending him Trump in 28 red hats. So, and with Donald Trump spend millions and millions of dollars redecorating the White House if he plans on leaving in 2028. So, look, I think that any vice president would be the front runner in a party that, you know, after a two-term president, and Donald Trump constitutionally would not be allowed to run again, even though Steve Bannon, among other Republicans, are saying, look, you know, you changed the Constitution stop somebody from being elected twice. We could change the Constitution again. It seems like a stretch. But again, if you think of Dan Quayle and Dick Cheney and other vice presidents, not every VP is automatically going to be the Republican mm-hmm. nominee, you know, after it's a president is leaving. But there will be no shortage of mm-hmm. candidates should Donald Trump ever leave the White House. And mm-hmm. I'm not convinced he'll ever leave it.
This is listener-supported public radio. This is our membership drive, and this is 89.7 NPR News. This hour, we're talking politics with Ken Rudin. If you appreciate hearing Ken's perspective on the news, make a gift now while Ken is on the air with us for this hour. And give a gift now, because today is a special day. It's New Member Monday. Give at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. If you've been listening to Ken for years and never given before, we're asking you to take that step. Move from being a listener to being a listener contributor right now. And today's a great day to make that move, because we have this special new member offer. New members can get the Powered by You coffee package for $7.50 a month as a sustaining member, or a one-time gift of $90. The package includes a great mug and a half-pound bag of Luck Brothers coffee from the Luck Brothers Coffee Lab. Give $7.50 as a new member, give that one-time gift of $90, and get this special offer. It's today only, just on New Member Monday. The coffee package returns to $15 a month tomorrow. So join us right now. If you are already a member, maybe you could consider making a small additional gift this hour in support of how much you've been listening in recent weeks, especially as the news cycle can be pretty relentless. You can give in any amount. If you're already a member, thank you so much for supporting this station. We truly appreciate your support. I want to say thanks to Chris Cloth. Chris is a sustaining member who just made an additional contribution in recognition of Susan Stanberg's lifetime of impact on journalism. So thank you, Chris, for doing that. We really appreciate your additional gift today. We want to hear from you. Make this membership drive a great success. Invest in the future of public radio. We're looking to hear from 15 more people before the hour ends. So we have a little less than 20 minutes remaining in the hour. We can definitely meet this goal to make this hour a great success when we hear from 15 more people. It can be new members joining us for the very first time. It can be existing members making a small additional gift today. Make this drive and this hour a great success by investing in the future of public radio at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And you are listening to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. We're talking about national politics with political journalist and host of the Political Junkie podcast, Ken Rudin. So I wanted to touch, Ken, on President Trump continues to go after his political enemies. You briefly mentioned this earlier, but we can dig in a little bit more. The former FBI director, James Comey, New York State Attorney General Letitia James, former National Security Advisor John Bolton have all been indicted. Do you think anything will come of these charges, or will they all get caught up in court for a real long time?
Well, I mean, just the thought of a president of the United States calling for these people to be indicted, to me, that is a perfect defense argument made by Comey and James to say that, you know, the president is putting undue pressure on the Justice Department. It's unconstitutional, and it should be dismissed. But it's just fascinating that Donald Trump has spent all this time talking about political grievance, how Joe Biden was going after him, how they were sabotaging his campaign, that they were spying on him. And yet every opportunity he has to go after a political enemy, as you say, James Comey, the former FBI director, who basically helped defeat Hillary Clinton in 2016, but that's another story altogether. But Comey and Letitia James, who prosecuted the successful conviction of Donald Trump, the only conviction of Donald Trump in the New York courts. I mean, he just feels that, you know, these are my enemies and I'll go after him. And he does it with impunity. and nobody's there to stop him. There's no Justice Department. You think of Nixon during Watergate, and you think of William Ruckelshaus and Elliot Richardson, who resigned rather than fire Archibald Cox during Watergate. There's nobody going to resign. The fact that Pam Bondi, every time she's asked a question about corruption, she says, well, what about the Democrats' corruption? Or when Kash Patel, when his eyes pop out every time he's asked about corruption. I mean, it's just remarkable I don't know how this ever ends unless there's another administration, Democratic administration in Washington. But right now, he does exactly what he wants. There's no pushback. There's no second thoughts about what he does. And right now, the lower courts have been wonderful as far as fighting for democracy and constitution. We'll see what the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, does, because right now, so far, they've given Trump almost everything he's asked for.
We have 16 minutes remaining, and we're still looking for 15 more people. Give right now before the hour ends. Support us. You are running out of time to be a part of New Member Monday. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We're talking to new members for New Member Monday, but if you're a current member, thank you for your ongoing support. Perhaps you can make an additional gift right now this hour to show your support of conversations about national politics. We also talk about local politics and state house news every Monday on the Reporter Roundtable. If this is one of your favorite times to listen, make a gift now and show how important this station is to you. Make an additional gift in support of All Sides and make this hour a great success. But if you can become a new member, this is the perfect time to join us. New Member Monday. When you become a new member at $7.50 a month, you'll get the Powered by You coffee package. Now, this coffee package is going to go back to $15 a month tomorrow, so we hope you join us today as a new member. If you've been thinking about it, considering making that leap, this is the perfect time to make a gift. Your gift will be put to work for you in support of programs like Morning Edition, All Things Considered, this show All Sides, our local news coverage from our WOSU news team. If this station is your trusted source for national news and local news, if the answer is yes, then become a member now. What are you waiting for? Don't wait until the end of the hour. Give now and make this hour a success. Give at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Ken, the leading U.S. news organizations have agreed on something, and they have not signed a Pentagon policy restricting journalists' access and ability to gather unauthorized material and information, even if it's unclassified. So talk to me about the press. Do the press need to be at the Pentagon, in the Pentagon, to cover it?
Well, I mean, certainly, first of all, you have to commend the journalists who have turned in their press credentials saying, I'm not going to bow down to what Pete Hegseth has decided is how we cover the Pentagon. So they won't be able to cover the Pentagon from inside the building. So, but I think when you're in the building, just like when you're covering Congress, and I used to cover Congress for ABC News, and you needed to be among the members and the staffers who will give you scoops and will give you information. But Hegseth and Trump don't want scoops. They don't want leakage of information. They want to force feed what they say to the American people without the reporters running interference. So Donald Trump just feels, and this is passed on to Hegseth, they have a resentment of the press. They feel the press is out to get them, and therefore they just block any access they can. But what they've done, first of all, what the reporters have done, you got to give them a lot of credit. I just don't know. I just do know a lot of reporters who have covered the Pentagon. Some of my friends who covered the Pentagon, two of my friends who have covered them, have since died in wars around the world, one in Afghanistan, one in Iraq. And I think of them all the time. I think they fought to get freedom, to get press freedom and to get the information to the American people. And the fact that Hegseth and Trump, are fighting this completely is just part of an authoritarian leaning in this administration that just wants to, the press is the enemy. The press is the bad guys. That's been Trump's mantra since his first term, but it's certainly getting worse in his second term.
I want to say thank you to Crystal Eastwood from Columbus. Thank you, Crystal, for your gift of support. And Barbara DeMora from Dublin. Thank you, Barbara DeMora. Now that means there's 13 more to go. So we have about 12 minutes left in the hour, and we're looking for 13 more gifts. They could be new members joining us for New Member Monday and getting the Powered by You coffee package that's at a special rate, $7.50 a month as a sustainer, or a one-time gift of $90. That's just for today, New Member Monday. Or it can be an existing member making an additional gift right now. Make a gift today and support public radio. 13 more to go in about 11 to 12 minutes left in the hour. We can definitely meet this goal and make this hour a great success when you join us. Give now. Don't wait until the hour ends. We are listener-supported public radio. Make a gift. If you enjoy hearing political discussions on the radio, if you enjoy hearing about national politics from Ken Rudin, if you enjoy the Reporter Roundtable that we have every Monday where we discuss local politics and everything happening at the Ohio State House, now's your turn to do your part. New Member Monday is today only. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. So speaking of the Pentagon, while we're there, officials are forcing staff to either watch or read the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth's warrior speech. It's the speech he gave to generals recently that made a lot of news. Sources are even reporting, if there's still sources at the Pentagon, sources are reporting that officials will be testing people on the speech. So what's your thoughts on this Hegseth's address to the military, his warrior speech?
Well, it was horrible watching it. I didn't know that he's going to test them. I didn't know about that until you just said it right now, which is completely upsetting. This is like Mao's red book that you need to memorize what Mao Zedong says. If you're going to be in good standing with the government. I mean, it's just for example, there's a thing going on at the airports now where Kristi Noem has a recorded message. Where at the airports they're saying, I'm sorry about the shutdown, but it's the Democrats who are doing this to you. It's everything is a propaganda opportunity to make sure that everybody is on the same wavelength as the Trump administration. It's horrifying, I think that's part of what the No Kings March was all about, that this government knows best and the people know the least. And I think just people are tired of it. But that's beyond belief. I mean, and the speech itself that Hegseth gave about fat people and fat generals, and he didn't mention anything about bone spurs. I noticed that. But I mean, he talks about all these things that are just horrific, and it's embarrassing. And I wondered, he gathered generals from all over the world to hear that speech, in Virginia. And I'm just wondering what they thought. I mean, boy, if there was ever a possibility of a coup, that would have been the time to do it. But I don't know. It's just, we've never, I mean, everything we say is, this is unprecedented, but absolutely, we've never seen anything like this in history.
Thank you to Marianne Kafer from Columbus. Thanks, Marianne. 12 more to go this hour. And Marianne says that she appreciates All Sides having Ken on. So there you go, Ken. You have a fan in Marianne. I want you to join us. So 12 more to go, and we have about 8 or 9 minutes left in the hour. You can be a part of this hour today. Make this hour a great success. And if you enjoy hearing shows like this one, now's the time to make a gift. You can become a new member right now for New Member Monday. That is today only, New Member Monday, just Monday. When you start a monthly gift of $7.50 a month, you can get our brand new 89.7 NPR News mug and a special half-pound bag of coffee blended right here in Columbus by Luck Brothers. So get this Powered by You coffee package right now as a new member for that one-time gift of $90. The package returns to $15 a month tomorrow. So new members, join us. And if you're already a member, you can make an additional gift right now in support of this station, in support of trusted news and information, and in support of this show in particular. This is a great time to give, a great hour to show your support. Make a gift in any amount. We're looking for participation. Give at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. We got this far and we haven't even talked about the National Guard. Both the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago have sued the Trump administration to block National Guard troops from being deployed to Chicago. And then Trump is saying that these lower court rulings are interfering with his ability to govern as president. He says that he's trying to protect ICE agents in these cities. So does the president have a right to protect immigration agents that are out there doing a job for him?
Well, does he have a right to send ICE agents to arrest American citizens and beat them and club them and pepper spray them and shoot rubber bullets into their heads? So I don't think he has a right to do that either. Look, we've never seen, I mean, I don't remember ever seeing a president sending National Guard in against peaceful citizens. I mean, if you look at what's going on in Portland and everybody is dressed up in banana costumes and, they're having the greatest time and they're saying it's a crime-ridden city. Look, Portland is weird, but it's not crime-ridden. Mm-hmm. And it's basically Donald Trump creating crises as he sees it. He creates crises to fit his agenda. And if you know, crime, which is definitely on the downswing, I mean, is, you know, whatever you think of Chicago crime and Washington, D.C. crime and New York crime, it's certainly down in the past year or two. But the fact that he says it's bad and unlivable, so he sends in the troops to do it, I'm glad we're not on TV because the faces I'm making is like, how is this possible? How are we allowing this to happen? But again, when you have a pliant court, you have a pliant Congress, he does what he wants.
Melissa Fisher has joined us. Thank you so much, Melissa Fisher from Columbus. There's 11 more to go this hour. We have about 5 minutes remaining. We definitely can meet this goal when we hear from you in these last few minutes of this hour of New Member Monday from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Become a new member. Get the Powered by You coffee package for $7.50 a month as a sustainer. This package includes a half pound of Luck Brothers coffee, which is crafted locally by Luck Brothers Coffee Lab right here in Columbus. And you will also get the 89.7 NPR News mug. This is a brand new mug. The package returns to $15 monthly tomorrow. So today's the day to become a new member. And if you rely on this station, we're asking you to move from being listener to member. If you love hearing political discussions, give right now before the hour's over. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's given this hour, but now's the time to hear from you. Support your future listening. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. There's an old saying that goes, it's the cover up that gets you, not the crime. So you mentioned this earlier. Some see the government shutdown as a diversion tactic away from the Trump administration. They're trying to avoid the Epstein files. Do you think it partially? I mean, there's more to it than that, but you think there's a diversion tactic in there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think they're doing everything they can from President Trump on down through Mike Johnson and Congress, doing everything they can to avoid a vote, to release the Epstein files. I mean, I don't know what new there is to say about it, except for the fact that Trump and the Republicans have called for it all along. You know, Bill Clinton was on the flights to, you know, with Epstein, but suddenly when they have an opportunity to release him, Pam Bondi can't find anything. Donald Trump says there's no there. And the only break I've seen lately is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who said this is ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe I'm quoting Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she said that it's disgraceful. This is not what Republicans should stand for. So it's very interesting to see if other Republicans, you know, if it becomes an issue in 2026. I can't believe it'll still be an issue in 2026. But if it is, it could come back to bite the Republicans. But right now, as long as there's no dissenting, or very little dissenting on the Republican side, they can keep obfuscating and hiding and covering it up.
This is the last few minutes. Make your gift right now, 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. We need to hear from you to make this hour a success. I guess the last question I have time for is, there's some major races happening across the U.S. What are you paying attention to? Is it the governor's race in New Jersey, Virginia, or is it the New York City mayor's race?
The answer is yes. and they're fascinating. First of all, whenever there's a Democrat in the White House, usually Republicans win the governorship in Virginia. There's a Republican in the White House, and Democrats usually win. So it looks like the Democrats, Abigail Spanberger, is running for governor of Virginia. She will win that governorship, even though her running mate has said some cruel things about having members of the opposition killed. I mean, look, anyway, I don't want to confuse you at the end, but Abigail Spanberger leading in Virginia. Mickey Sherrill looks like she'll win in New Jersey, but Donald Trump has strength there. And it'll be very interesting to see if Zoran Mamdani wins the mayoral race in New York City. Donald Trump calls him a communist and says he'll cut New York City aid if he wins. Mamdani seems to be very unpopular with Democrats around the country, except with Democrats in New York. Governor Kathy Hochul has endorsed him, although Chuck Schumer has not. And he'd be the first Muslim mayor of New York City in a city that has many Jews. But it seems like from polling, not only is Mamdani going to win, but a plurality of Jewish voters say he's the perfect candidate.
Thank you to Derek DiCenzo from Columbus. Derek writes that Ken Rudin is the best. So you got a fan in Derek there.
Wait, two fans. Two fans.
Yeah. Thank you to Andrew Ritter in Dublin. So that means we're down to nine more to go. Nine more in the last minute. You know, we can get a few online and a few on the phone, and we can definitely meet this goal this hour. This is New Member Monday. Get the Powered by You coffee package for $7.50 a month. That package returns to $15 tomorrow. So it's just today, just New Member Monday. And if you're already a member, thank you so much. Consider making a small additional gift this hour in support of all the listening you've been doing in recent weeks and the listening you'll do in the weeks and months to come. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. Ken, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you to your audience who is very generous today.
And yes, our audience is very generous. This is the last minute for you to join us. Make this hour a great success. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. Give now and support 89.7 NPR News. If you have been listening for a long time and been meaning to become a new member, now's a great time. This is New Member Monday. Get the Powered by You coffee package at a special rate right now. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And thanks.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.